the Shus, Mor Rebbe Bosai, for the Shur, for all your efforts in always coordinating the program so nicely. Good morning, Gitvach, Hafeil Chen Chanukah. It is a long-standing practice to recite paragraph Aneros Halalu, the sources from the Sech Sofrim, and it's brought in by the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch that one should say this paragraph at the time that we light the menorah each night of Chanukah. And there's a sentence within an Aneros Halalu which is quite striking. We say, V'chol Shmona Shemi Chanukah, Aneros Halalu Kodeshem, that for the duration of Chanukah, these candles, these lights are holy. We have no permission to make personal use of them. So there's a certain kedusha, as it were, to the neiros of Chanukah. So I'd like to explore together the nature of this halacha, the nature of the sanctity of the lights, the iser to derive benefit from them. What are the parameters of this prohibition? In what sense do the candles, do the lights of Chanukah have Kedusha? Does every type of use come under this prohibition? What about a mitzvah benefit? If you want to learn Torah, when I learn Daf Yomi by the lights of Chanukah, what if you want to have your Sudas Shabbos? It's a little harder to imagine some of these scenarios today because we have electricity, but imagine putting yourself back in earlier times of history where candles were really the source of light. Imagine if we had a blackout in December, it could also happen, and you want to use the lights of the menorah, of the Chanukah lights, as your light for the Sudas Shabbos or to learn. Would the Isser be limited maybe to only activities that show a certain lack of respect for the mitzvah, for the Ner Chanukah? What about something which is not necessarily disrespectful, but just more of a neutral use? Is there a difference between somebody on the inside of the house and somebody outside as far as this prohibition of benefiting from the lights of Chanukah? And of course, the question you should also be aware of is the role of the Shabbos in all of this. We, of course, have the minhag to have a Shabbos, and obviously has a lot to do with this question. Separate from the question of benefiting from the lights of the menorah, we have to also consider the question of the oil, have leftover oil. And I don't know why, but if you'd want to use it for something like your salad or whatever, can you or not? Okay, before we proceed, I want to make a disclaimer. We can't possibly do justice to all of these points in the time allotted. There is a shir to follow. As it is, there are a great number of my makomos on the sheets, and I omitted many as well. The topic is a vast one. There's a tremendous amount of literature on it. The best we can do, hopefully, is to create a framework based on the makoros for thinking about these various issues and understanding what goes behind it, the underpinnings. The source for Hilchos Chanukah is, of course, in the second parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Bamem Adikin, beginning on Daf Chaf Aleph, going for a couple of lat. The very first Gemara that discusses Chanukah, we have this on the sheets in the beginning, presents a machlokes as to whether there's a iser, prohibition, to benefit from the lights of the Chanukah, of the menorah. Asur lishtamish la'ora, or mutar lishtamish la'ora. The context of this discussion is whether one may use the wicks and oil that is disqualified for Shabbos candles for the lights of the menorah. In other words, when it comes to Shabbos, there were a number of wicks and fuels that were disqualified, Chazal said, because they don't burn so well, and you might come to adjust it and then violate a melach of kibbutz, of extinguishing the flame. And the question is, what about for Chanukah? This issue comes up in the Gemara both regarding menorah during the week, Chanukah lights during the week, and separate issue regarding Friday night, as we have this year two Friday nights of Chanukah. With regard to the question of during the week, the topic is not our shir, it's the shir that follows, Kavsa Zakukla or Kavsa Ein Zakukla. The question is, what would happen if the lights went out? Would you have fulfilled your mitzvah, or do you have to go and relight it? And so if the halacha is that you have to relight the candles, so then you can't assume that you can use wicks or flames that are disqualified for Shabbos because you might end up not relighting it, and since they don't burn well, they might go out. So that's not our discussion. But there's a separate consideration, even if you get around the question of whether you can use it during the week, and you say you could, because kavsa ein zakuka, that even if it goes out, it's not a problem. But there might be a specific problem regarding using these wicks and oils on Shabbos Chanukah. And that's based on the question of whether or not you're allowed to use the lights for your own benefit. And the Gemara has a range of shitas here, and basically it comes down to this. If you assume that it's usher l'shtamesh l'ora, that you're not allowed to use the light of Chanukah for yourself, so then there's really no potential problem of maybe coming to adjust the flame and therefore violating the malach of kibui. Because the halacha is you can't use the lights anyway, so you're not going to come to adjust it and to extinguish. However, if you hold that mutar l'shtamesh l'ora, you may use the lights for yourself, then we have a consideration of shemayate. You might end up coming to violate the malach of extinguishing. So here Gemara makes mention of possibly there being a prohibition of using the lights of the menorah, asur l'shtamesh l'ora. However, the Gemara doesn't explain why. Why would it be asur? What's the problem exactly? If you go a block later, this is the next source on your sheet, Chav Beis Amid Aleph, the Gemara, this issue resurfaces in a completely different context as far as benefiting from the lights of the menorah. The case is, if a person wants to count money, Chanukah Geld, I suppose, whatever, count your change, by the light of the menorah. And Rav Asi said, Asur l'hadlis mos k'neged ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to use the lights of Chanukah to count your money. And then there's a big question about this. Shmuel said over in response, V'chiner kedusha yeshba. Why would it be us? Is there any kedusha to the lights of Chanukah? And Rav Yosef comes back and explains why it's us. Rav Yosef says, after all, there's a mitzvah of kisui hadam, that we have to cover the blood of a chayev oath after we shecht. And the halacha is that you should do so, you should take earth with your hand to cover the blood, but you shouldn't do it with your feet, even though it might be more convenient to just simply kick the dust, the dirt, over the blood. And are you going to tell me that there's kedusha to the blood? Rather, says Rav Yosef, the reason is, shelo yehu mitzvos bezuyos alav. We don't want mitzvos to be treated in a disrespectful way. There's a notion called bizui mitzvah. And so Rav Yosef says, the same idea applies to Chanukah. If we would count money, count change by the light of Chanukah, that would be, in a sense, a bizui mitzvah, disrespectful for the mitzvah. Rav Yosef applies this as well to another halacha regarding sukkah. If you have, for example, decorations on your sukkah that can also be used for benefit, let's say you hang a real fruit. Sometimes you see on sukkahs the plastic fruit, so you're not going to eat that. But you could have, for example, real fruit hanging as noy sukkah, and they're designated for noy sukkah. But you get hungry in the course of sukkahs, even if it's chol moed, and you decide to take a bite from that apple hanging on the wall of the sukkah. So that's an issa. And the reason, says Rabbi Yosef, is and it's based on a brisa that says you're now at a benefit for the duration of sukkahs, including Shmini Atzeres, because of the fact that going into Shmini Atzeres, it's still ben hashmashos, it could still be part of sukkahs. And therefore, it remains also for Shmini Atzeres as well. So you can't take a bite of that apple because of bizui mitzvah. The source for all of this, says Rabbi Yosef, is the din by kisui hadam, that you're not allowed to use your feet to cover the blood. So according to this Gemara, there's a notion called bizui mitzvah, and that's the reason why you shouldn't benefit from the light of the Chanukah menorah because of the fact that it shows disrespect for the mitzvah. So how do we reconcile this Gemara with the earlier Gemara, where the Gemara didn't explain why it might be asur l'shtamesh l'ora, and a lot later the Gemara specifically raises the notion of bizui mitzvah? Just before continuing, let me just mention quickly two other Gemaras. The next, in between the two Gemaras that we just quoted, there's the mention of having an extra light for Chanukah. This is what we refer to as the Shamas. Rava made a statement, "Betzarech ner acheres l'shtamesh l'ora." you need an extra candle, light, to use for your own benefit. Now, there's a whole discussion exactly what is this all about, and then what does Rabbah always require it? This is, of course, the common practice to have a Shamus. And obviously, this would seem to tie into the question of, if you can't use, for example, the regular lights, then at least you have the Shabbos to use. And that could be one way to understand what Rav is telling us here. One more Gemara. It's not really Gemara. It's a comment of the She'iltis, one of the early Gaonim, and the Rishonim will quote this. It finds its way to Halacha. And that is regarding the oil. The She'iltis, this is source 4, the Rush quotes this, Tosis also quotes this later on in Masechta Shabbos, that if you have oil left over from any given night, so you have to use it for the next night, and if you have oil left over after the eighth night of Chanukah, then you have to take all that oil and create a menorah, a bonfire, and burn it together, because as we refer to this as huksala mitzvah. The oil has been designated for the mitzvah, and therefore you can't use it for anything else. So we have to understand exactly where this is coming from. Okay, so let's go back to the basic question of how to understand the first Gemara of Asur Lishtamesh La'ora. Is that itself based on the rationale of Bizei Mitzvah, as the Gemara mentions a daf later regarding counting the change, or is it something else? So many Rishonim take the first Gemara and interpret it in light of, I guess pardon that pun, in light of the second Gemara of Bizei Mitzvah. The Kolbo, one of the anonymous Rishonim, quoted quite often in Beis Yosef, explains, matter-of-factly, the reason why you can't use the lights of the menorah, the candles of Chanukah, is because of Bizei Mitzvah. And he, interesting how he explains the notion of Bizei Mitzvah. It's an interesting way to think about it. I don't think we have this Yerushalmi. He quotes a Yerushalmi. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, having mechabe ha-mitzvahs, you should show respect to mitzvot shehen shigul chai. They are my messengers. And we know the rule is shlucho shel adam kimoso. A person's shliach is like the one who sent them. If the mitzvah is Hashem shluchim, then they represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you show respect to the mitzvahs, it is as if you would show respect to me. V'im bazisa osam kilu bazisa lishmi. It's an interesting way to think about the notion of Bizei Mitzvah. There's something similar in the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shchita as well, and the way he explains Bizei Mitzvah doesn't use the term Shulcha Shul Adam Kimoso, but he basically expresses the same thought here as the Kolbo. But according to the Kolbo then, the reason for the earlier Gemara, Asur Lishtamesh La'ora, is based on Bizei Mitzvah itself. And of course, the question therefore becomes, in light of something we raised earlier, would a mitzvah use also come under the prohibition? If you want to learn Torah by the lights of the menorah, you want to eat your Suda Shabbos, would that be usur? If the reason is Bizei Mitzvah, so I can argue that if I'm using the lights for another mitzvah, that's not disrespectful. If I use it for a mundane use, if I use it for a use that shows a lack of respect, that's Bizei Mitzvah. What about a mitzvah use? Now, remember the context of that Gemara. If you hold Asur Lishtamesh La'ora, then it may be, the Gemara says, you can use the wicks and the oils that are not kosher for Shabbos, you could use it for Chanukah because you won't come to extinguish, to mechabe. Now, if we understand that there's an exception to this rule, and you could actually learn or have your Seudas Shabbos by the light of the note, then what have we gained here? It might be Asur Lishtamesh for a mundane use, a neutral use. But if you're going to be allowed to use it for a mitzvah, then again, you might be learning, you might be having your Seudas Shabbos, and you can again come to extinguish. So it would seem like the Isser that's mentioned in the earlier Gemara does not have the exception for a mitzvah use. But then again, if the reason is based on Bizei Mitzvah, right, then Choret should be mutter to use it for another mitzvah purpose. So this is an interesting question. And there are Rishonim who assume that even if the reason is Bizei Mitzvah, it doesn't matter if the use is a mitzvah, it's still Bizei Mitzvah because you show lack of respect for this mitzvah by using it for some other use, even if that other use happens to also be a mitzvah. The Meiri, brings the opinion that the reason for us to ishtamish l'or in the early Gemara is biza mitzvah, and the Meir makes it clear that even though the reason is biza mitzvah, but the isser applies no matter what purpose you're using it for. The Meir says, b'chol tashmish, afilu tashmish shel mitzvah, the tashmish shel kedusha, even to learn, even to have yesudas Shabbos, it's still a biza mitzvah because he says, kol shebishtamish mitzvah zu, la'ora mara atzmo kilu eina chaviv alo. You might be doing another mitzvah, but you still show a lack of respect for this mitzvah. I mean, I give you one example, perhaps. There's a halacha that a person's not supposed to do another activity while he's making a bracha, while you're benching, while you're making a bracha. So let's say the other activity happens to be a mitzvah activity. Let's say you happen to be learning your daf for the day, but you're benching at the same time, and you can multitask. You're saying the words of benching, but you're also learning. So we can understand that it wouldn't be mutter to learn while you're benching. Or the fact that you're doing another mitzvah doesn't mean that you're not showing respect. You should still show disrespect for the benching, for the bracha you're making. So according to this Meiri, you can be using the lights of the menorah for another mitzvah, and yet it shows a lack of respect for this mitzvah. But this is not how everybody holds. The Shibboleth HaLeket, actually, once we're on this Meiri, there's an interesting point the Meiri makes as well in terms of understanding what the second Gemara is about. If you assume that the first Gemara is also based on Bizi Mitzvah, and we said even a mitzvah purpose is also Bizi Mitzvah, so why does Gemara have to repeat the notion of Bizi Mitzvah again a daf later? So the Meiri goes on and says the following. This is back in that same source within the Meiri. He says, the reason why we mention the case of counting money is because, after all, counting money is iyun kaod. It's very casual. V'nasa me'rachok. And it's done, he says, from a faraway distance, geographically. He assumes, this is not how all the Rishonim assume, the Meiri assumes that the case of counting money is not right in front of the lights of the menorah. You could be in another corner of the room, you might even be in a different room, but the light kind of goes around the corner. So you don't really see yourself disparaging the mitzvah. You happen to be getting a little bit of light where you are, and you happen to be getting a certain benefit. But maybe that doesn't go under Bizi Mitzvah. And therefore, Shmuel wasn't so convinced that it should be usher to do that. And that's where Rav Yosef felt, no, even that goes under Bizi Mitzvah as well. So according to the Meiri, according to this opinion quoted by the Meiri, both Gemaras deal with Bizi Mitzvah. Even a tashmish of kedusha, even a mitzvah itself is bizi mitzvah. And there's a separate chidush in the second Gemara that even if you're doing it in a way that doesn't quite raise the flag of bizi mitzvah as much, you're far away from the lights, it still happens to be bizi mitzvah. Okay. The Shibboleth HaLeket, again one of the Rishonim, quotes from the Sefer HaItur, the Baal HaDibros is the Sefer HaItur, that the Isser to count money is because it happens to be a tashmish chol. This is nothing that's sacred about counting money, and even if it's Chanukah geld, it's still a tashmish chol. And therefore, it would be us. However, tashmish kedusha, if it's a mitzvah that you're doing, that would be mutter. And he says, I'll give you another, and it doesn't have to be specifically money, counting money. Let's say you're checking your cups and your pots and your plates to make sure that they're clean. You're going to have a Chanukah Mesiba later and you want to make sure everything looks neat. Okay, Chanukah Mesiba may or may not be a mitzvah, but certainly checking the plates is not a mitzvah. So that would be Asr as well. In Daf says there are Bizoyim Husha Asr. But the Hapsosmos is one example among many that would be Asr, but to learn by the light of the candles of menorah of Chanukah would be Mutter, because that's not called Bizi Mitzvah. So that is another opinion in the Rishonim, that it would be mutter to use the lights of Chanukah for a mitzvah use. Of course, if you interpret the first Gemara as Bizi Mitzvah, you of course raise the question that the Gemara sounds like there are no exceptions. Otherwise, if there are exceptions, then you could come to extinguish it based on those cases where you'd be using it for a mitzvah. So you have to know how the Baal HaItur understood the first Gemara. There are, in fact, other ways to understand the first Gemara of why Asur Ishtamish L'Ora, not linking it to the second Gemara, Bizi Mitzvah. If you look at Rashi, on that first Gemara, Rashi says something entirely different, seemingly. Also, l'shtamish l'ora, says Rashi, why? Shehei nikr shehu ner mitzvah. By the fact that you're not using the lights of Hanukkah for some other use, you therefore convey the clear impression that this is a mitzvah light. If you would use it for some other use, then it could be perceived as something other than lit for Hanukkah. Someone says you lit it for that purpose, you lit it for that use. And that would therefore be a problem in the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. Rashi alludes to the same idea in the Gemara that says that you need to have an extra candle. Rashi says, Lasos Heker Bedavar, in order that it should be clear that it's a Ner Hanukkah. But it's not clear in Rashi whether that opinion of Rava is going with the Manda Amar, Asu Ishtamish L'Ora, or it may be the other way. Even if it's Mutu Ishtamish L'Ora, that's why you have to have the other candle. But certainly there's a notion in Rashi that it's Asu Ishtamish L'Ora because otherwise one would perceive the candle, the light, as not being for Ner Hanukkah. This idea comes up in a different discussion in the Gemara. How to understand this notion that it has to be Nikr, that it's a Ner Hanukkah? What Rashi seems to be saying is not a technical point. You know, it has to be Nikr. This is the essence of the mitzvah. And the Gemara makes an interesting point as well in the same vein. The question in the Gemara is, if Hadlaka osa mitzvah or Hanacha osa mitzvah? What is key? What is critical here? The lighting or the positioning of the lights of the menorah where it's supposed to be shining? Naftamina, for example, if a cherishot of a katan would do one or the other, he would do the hadgaka or do the hanacha. Does that disqualify the mitzvah? The Gemara concludes hadgaka osa mitzvah like the lashon of the bracha lahadik ner shel Chanukah. But the Gemara points out the following: let's say you assume that hanacha osa mitzvah, that what's critical is positioning the menorah. So What would that mean? Let's say you lit it inside in a place that you couldn't light it, and you brought it outside afterwards. Would that be good? After all, what matters is hanacha. The Gemara says no, because if you lit it in an inappropriate place, someone could assume you lit it for your own use. L'tzarcho hu da'adlika. So therefore, even if hanacha osa mitzvah, you still have to light it in the right place. Suppose you say the other way, hadlaka osa mitzvah. So let's say you light it, and you never put it down. You keep holding it. So a yotzei, the Gemara says, no, even if hadlaka osa mitzvah, you have to put it down. Otherwise, someone will assume you lit it for your own use. L'tzarcho hu da'adlika. So both points the Gemara makes, it's critical that people recognize that it was lit for the sake of Hanukkah. Rashi explains, L'tzarcho hishtamish. Maybe you lit it for your own use, and v'leka heker nisa, says Rashi. You don't see it as persumei nisa. Rabbi Kiv'eger in the Tshuva explains that the notion of l'tzarcho hu da'adlika is not a technical point of maris ayin. You know, technical problem called maris ayin. Someone might come to think that you really didn't do your mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. Kiv'eger says it's more than that. It's a chesaron in the etzem ha-mitzvah, says Rabbi Kiv'eger. The kein hu ha-mitzvah sheyu be'inyan demaisav mochichin aleha da'osem ishe mitzvah v'zeh pirsum. The notion of persumei nisa requires that the Ner Hanukkah be classified as such that it not be misrepresented and convey the false impression that it was not lit for the sake of persumei nisa. And therefore, according to Rashi, asu l'shtamish l'ora is because of the fact that if you'd use it for some other use, it would diminish and take away from the persumei nisa, from the heker, from being recognized and understood and perceived as a ner chanukah. Okay, so now, if that's the first Gemara, so now, how do we work now into the second Gemara? So we have a second Gemara that talks about counting change by the Ner Hanukkah and gives a different reason of Biza Mitzvah. Who needs that? We already have the reason of Basel Ishtamesh Ora in the earlier Gemara, and that's based on, as Rashi says, the notion of Heker, of Persumei Nisa. So many of you shown him try to work out why we need a second Gemara that talks about a specific case of counting money, even if we already have the earlier Gemara that says you can't be Mishtamish Laora based on Rashi saying Heker. The Rush, this is the next source number 12. The Rush says that the reason that Rashi gave of Heker would apply only if what you're doing to benefit is a very formal type of act. that one could certainly assume that you lit it for that purpose. Now, you don't light a candle or oil specially in order to count your money. It might be burning, so maybe you'll come to inspect your coins. But it's not like you can imagine it was lit specially for that. This is not a formal type of an act. It doesn't take very long. It's casual. Says the Rosh, therefore, the first reason that Rashi gives us in the early Gemara does not apply by Hatzlas Mos. And therefore, even though we already know it's Asa Lishtanus La'ora, you still need the second case, because after all, it's not a Tashmish Kavua, and therefore, in a case like this, we wouldn't imagine a person thinking that it was lit specially for that. Therefore, the Persuminisa is still here, and therefore there's a second consideration, even when the reason of Rashi doesn't apply, nevertheless, there's a problem of Biza Mitzvah. And the Rashi explains further that this idea of Biza Mitzvah specifically relates to the case of checking your change, checking your money, because he assumes that you're doing it exactly in front of the lights of the menorah. And it's a gnai. It shows a lack of respect for the mitzvah. Remember, the Me'iri thought that the case of Hatzos Mos was something done far away from the lights. The Rosh assumes just the opposite. He says the words keneged near Chanukah imply that you're doing it right in front of the lights. And that is a consideration of Biza Mitzvah, because again, the lack of respect that's shown to do this kind of an act in front of the lights of the menorah. The Me'iri also agrees with Rashi, the Me'iri himself, that is, that the reason for Asa L'shtamish Ba'ora in the early Gemara is based on Hekker, and that it doesn't show Pesumei Nisa. And he adds an interesting point. He says that let's imagine you have other candles lit anyway. So would you still say that if you use the lights of the menorah plus the extra candles, someone would say you lit even the main lights of the menorah for another purpose? You have the other light after all. Says me, it doesn't matter. If you're using the lights of the menorah for your own use, even if you have another light as well, someone could assume you lit more than one light for that purpose. Sometimes it gives you more light. Light a couple of candles. So that's the first point that Me'iri says. Having extra lights doesn't take away the concern of Hekker, of lacking Pesumei Nisa. Then the Me'iri says, why do we need another Gemara later of the case of counting money? So the emphasis of the Rosh was that it's an Iyun Kal, it's something that we wouldn't light specially for. The Me'iri seems to emphasize another point. He says, Ein kam shash sarcho ho ve'ein adam margish b'tesh misho. It happens so quickly. How long does it take to count your change? A couple of seconds, right? So it wouldn't necessarily catch people's attention, and they're suddenly going to draw their conclusions. Ah, you did it. You lit it for that reason. If it's something that takes an extended period of time, then it can lead to the problem that someone's going to attribute your candle to that use. If it's a very quick type of act, so that's the reason why you don't have the concern of Hekker, and therefore we need to come up to a new concern of Biza Mitzvah. And there's one last point that we should emphasize in this Me'iri, in how he defines Biza Mitzvah. We'll talk a little bit later about Biza Mitzvah. The Me'iri has an interesting formulation, that Biza Mitzvah is the idea, he says, that we know there's a difference between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. Tashmishei Kedusha is, for example, something that serves Kedusha itself, like the manto and the Sefer Torah, tefillin, anything associated with tefillin. Tashmisha Kedusha, retain Kedusha, even if you're not performing the mitzvah, even after the mitzvah is over, you have to be gonez them, you can't just dispose of them. Tashmisha Mitzvah, after the mitzvah is over, you can technically dispose of them, whether it be tzitzis, the arba minim. So there, the halacha is nizrakim, you can dispose of them. Maybe do it with a little bit of respect, but you can basically dispose of them. So the obvious question is, Ner Chanukah should be classified not as Tashmishei Kedusha at first glance, but as Tashmishei Mitzvah. But explains the Me'iri, Biza Mitzvah means the following. At the time that the mitzvah is being fulfilled, you have to treat it as if it were Tashmishei Kedusha. So Tashmishei Mitzvah at the time of the mitzvah takes on a certain status in terms of how we relate to it as if it were Tashmishei Kedusha. This notion is not the Me'iri's own notion. It's what the Ramban writes in many, many places, among them here, the Mochamos, the next source. The Ramban has it in other places as well, Masechta Megillah, Masechta Beitza. not something we won't be able to delve into too much, but an important idea, that the notion of being a mitzvah can be understood as tashmishei mitzvah is classified as tashmishei kedusha at the time that the mitzvah is being fulfilled. So we've seen a couple of ideas of why, if you have the notion of heker, that Rashi points out in an earlier Gemara, asur l'shtamesh l'or, because it lacks the heker, ner chanukah, it's not perceived as ner chanukah, why do you need a new reason of visa mitzvah later on? We saw what the Rush and what the Meiri say about that, that it has to do with the fact that heker doesn't necessarily apply, the problem of heker, if it's done in a casual way, if it's done in a quick way. The Beis Halevi has another idea, another approach, why we need a new Gemara, a visa mitzvah, after we already have the early Gemara of Asur L'shtamesh L'ora, based on the lack of Pesumei Nisan. Beis HaLevi thinks that we can distinguish between people in the house and people outside the house. Why would I light the candles here? For someone outside, why do I care if someone outside is going to get benefit? I'm not lighting it for them to get benefit. So they happen to be passing by, they want to derive benefit from it for whatever reason. So according to the reason of Heker that Rashi gives us, it would only create a prohibition for those people within the house, that if they're using it, one would argue that it was lit for the purpose of that use for the people within the house. But if you told them that somebody out of the house getting benefit from the lights of the menorah of Hanukkah, so then one would not say, well, you lit it for that reason, and therefore there's a lack of pesumei nisa. Why would it be usher for somebody outside to benefit? It must be you need a new reason of bisa mitzvah, that if you're disparaging the mitzvah, then it doesn't matter where you are and who you are, you're not allowed to benefit from those lights. That's what the Beis HaLevi suggests as another explanation for Rashi of why you need a second Gemara of bisa mitzvah. Okay, so far we've seen that one approach in the Rishonim, that the earlier Gemara of Asur L'shtamesh L'ora can be understood based on the later Gemara of bisa mitzvah. And we've seen the approach of Rashi, that the early Gemara is based on the consideration of Heker, that you have to show that this is near Chanukah, not something else. It wasn't lit for another reason. And the other Gemara is based on Bisa Mitzvah. Now we have another approach, a third approach that we just showed him for explaining the first Gemara and reconciling the two Gemaras. We also saw so far the question of whether Tashmish Kedusha would be excluded. If it's Bisa Mitzvah, one could argue that Tashmish Kedusha would not be Asur. But if it's a reason of Heker, so any reason, that any purpose would take away the Heker. The Baal HaMor creates a novel approach here for why Asur L'shtamesh L'ora. He says that, first of all, it's clear any Tashmish is Asur. That's the context of the Gemara, after all, that otherwise you could come to extinguish for whatever purpose you're using it for. So even Tashmish Mitzvah, even Tashmish Kedusha. But why, says the Baal HaMor, Kevan Shehem Zecher Leneros L'Shemen Shel Heichal, Asur Shehem B'Hanah Kol Iker. We know that we have the concept of the Menorah and Migdash, and we have the Takana of Neiros Chanukah. Chazal instituted that the Neiros Chanukah should take on a certain status, like the Neiros of the Migdash. And it's assumed that the Neiros and the Shemen, he says as well, of the Migdash are Asur Bahana. They're Kodesh after all. And so too, literally, HaNeiros HaLo Kodeshen, the Neiros of Chanukah have that same quality to them, just like the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, no matter what your use is, you're not allowed to benefit from Kedusha. Which of course raises an interesting question, asked by the Meiri and others. Is it actually Asur to benefit in a manner where you're simply looking and using the light of the menorah? Is that called Mi'ilah? Kol marav areyach, the Gemara tells us, ein ben mishum Mi'ilah. You're not taking something tangible by the fact that you're using light. So how does that come under the Isur Mi'ilah? So the Mi'iri says, for example, it comes up later in your sheets, that there may not be an Isur d'oraisa of Mi'ilah in such a form, but there'd be an Isur d'rabbanan. And therefore, you're not allowed to benefit with Rabbanan. And for that Isur Rabbanan, Chazal created an equation between our lights of the menorah and the lights of the menorah in the Migdash, based on the Isur Rabbanan, that you can't benefit from the light. There's another Gemara that the Meiri and Tosus make mention of, that by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they used to have these big menorahs that used to light up all the Yerushalayim. They used wicks that were made from the worn-out clothing of the Kohanim, Bigdei Kehuna, which have Kedusha, and they used those as wicks, and they had this light that sown over Yerushalayim, and a woman would be able, it says, to be boreres chitim, to inspect chitim from impurities by the light of that menorah that was so bright. The question is, what about the consideration of Mi'ilah? And the Mi'iri says, well, Mi'ilah is only the Rabbanan. For the sake of Simchas Pesach Shaweva, they wave the Issa Rabbanan over there. When it comes to Neiros Chanukah, Chazal create an equation between the Issa Rabbanan in Migdash and the Issa Rabbanan over here as well. So there's a certain element of Tashmishi Kedusha, according to this Balamor, in the Neiros of Chanukah as well. Now, how does the Balamor work in terms of the two Gemaras and reconcile the two Gemaras? So, according to the Balamor, they are at odds with one another. The second Gemara that offers a reason of Bizei Mitzvah, doesn't, Rav Asi, in other words, does not agree with the Man D'Amar, Asu Ishtamish La'ora. He holds they never created this equation between the Neiros Chanukah and the menorah. So from that perspective, it's Mutar Ishtamish La'ora. And yet, there's a problem called Bizei Mitzvah. So according to the Balamor, we would paskin Mutar Ishtamish La'ora, would work with the second Gemara, and only work with the reason of Bizei Mitzvah. And Bizei Mitzvah, says the Balamor, does not apply to mitzvah uses. That's the intuition, right? You're using it for a mitzvah, why would it be considered Bizei Mitzvah? And therefore, the halacha, the Balamor thinks, we'd be able to mishtamish la'ora for the sake of Sudas Shabbos, to learn Torah and the like. It's interesting that the same Balamor does make mention of Rashi's reason, of Heker, but not in terms of us mishtamish la'ora, but in terms of having the Shabbos. The very end of the Balamor says, when Rabbah says you need an extra candle, that's because no one should think that you lit it for your own purpose. That has to do with Heker. But the Asu Ishtamish La'ora in the Gemara is based on the patterning after the Beis HaMikdash and the Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. If we look at other Rishonim as well, we notice that they also adopted that reason of the Balamor, that the Isser of Shtemesh La'ora might be based on the menorah, but they didn't go as far as saying there's a machlokas between the two Gemaras, and we can dismiss the first Gemara of the Halacha and accept the second. After all, the Rif quoted both Gemaras. The Rif quoted the Gemara of Asu Shtemesh La'ora, and the Rif quoted the Gemara of Bizei Mitzvah. According to the Balamor, if you go with the second Gemara, you don't agree with the first Gemara. So the Ram, for example, says, Asur Ishtamish La'ora, because it's based on the fact that Alidei Meisi, the Meisi HaMenorah Teknuha, Asa'ua Kemenorah Im Ishtamshin Baklav. So he gives us the reason of the Balamor. The Rashbah gives two reasons for why Asur Ishtamish La'ora. The second reason he says is Bizei Mitzvah, based on the other Gemara. The first reason is because Alidei Meisi Nasa the Menorah Teknu, Hilkoch Asa'ua Kemenorah, Sha'asur Ishtamish La'ora. The Me'iri himself has the following insight. He says, again, even if you assume, actually, no, this is the Me'iri we mentioned before. This is the point about the Isser of Me'ila. Okay. Interesting little question, though. The Ran was the one who gave the reason like the Balamor, and yet the Ran himself goes on and says that the reason given for why he mentions Hatsuas Mo specifically is because it's a Tashmish Kal, it's a light type of use, casual use. I just simply didn't understand Pshadya of the Rav, because that reason, a Tashmish Kal, that was used within the Pshad of Rashi, that the problem of Asli Shtemish Kal is Heker, that doesn't show the Pesumei Nisa, that Tashmish Kal doesn't diminish the Heker. But the Rav himself gave the reason to the Balamor, and yet goes on to distinguish in light of the fact that Hatsaras Mos is a Tashmish Kal. Okay. I want to go back to Rashi's approach that we mentioned before, that the reason for the first Gemara is based on the fact that a Ner Chanukah requires a Heker, that you recognize it as Ner Chanukah. And we had the second Gemara that mentions the reason of Bizei Mitzvah. So we've seen a number of approaches in the Rishonim that the second Gemara is coming to plug the holes that don't exist, that exist based on the first reason. If it's a case where the first reason doesn't apply, we still have to consider Bizei Mitzvah. I want to suggest, this is what the Stiper says, a very interesting approach for Rashi, that really the two Gemaras complement one another in a different kind of a way. That really, you need a Kamanta Bizi Mitzvah in order to understand what Rashi said, that there's a problem of Heker, and vice versa. And in order to introduce this, the Stiper, Pilis Yaakov, quotes an interesting machlokas between the Tur and the She'iltis in Hilchas Tzitzis. The Tur quotes from the She'iltis that a person may not use the strings of the talis, of Tzitzis, to tie something with. Why? Because that's a problem of bizui mitzvah. You're showing lack of respect for the mitzvah, the chefesh mitzvah, by using it to tie something. And the Childress brings this along with many other examples of bizui mitzvah, some of which we mentioned already, near Chanukah and Kisui Hadam, and also, which we'll come back to in a minute, smelling a hadas and sukkis. And this, says the Childress, is another example of bizui mitzvah. Now, the Tur raises the following question. He says, the example of Kisui Adam is not a good one, he says. Efshe lechalek, she'en odom meledam, she'en yichasem kishemachase beregel, osa mitzvah derech bizoyon, ma she'en kein kan. When you use your feet to cover the blood, you are doing the mitzvah itself of Kisui Adam in a disrespectful way. You're doing the mitzvah with your feet. That's not nice. However, when you're tying something with the strings of your talis, you're not doing a mitzvah of tzitzis right now at the second. Just, let's say it's not even on you. You just happen to use the talis and the strings for something. So you're not doing a mitzvah with it in a disrespectful way. Why is that kaman bizi mitzvah? That is what the Torah asks on the She'iltis. But the problem is obvious. Because the Gemara, by a case of Bizui Mitzvah, of Kisui Adam, mentioned another example of the Noi Sukkah. If you have the apple hanging from the Sukkah, and you want to eat it over Sukkot, so that's called Bizui Mitzvah. Now, when you eat that apple, you're not performing the mitzvah of Sukkah, whatever, in a way that shows lack of respect. You just happen to be taking the article of the mitzvah and eating it, which shows a lack of respect. So what's wrong with the case of the She'iltis? Why is that any better? After all, you're taking a chefesh mitzvah, using it for some other mundane use for yourself. And the Torah seemed to argue that only if you're doing the mitzvah in a disrespectful way is there a problem with using mitzvah. But not in the case of Noi Sukkah, you're not doing a mitzvah over there. So how does the Torah understand that halacha? After all, you're not doing a mitzvah there either. But yet it's still called bizui mitzvah. That is the question that the Beis Yosef asks on the Tur. So the Stiper has a very interesting way to understand what we have here in Bizui Mitzvah. This is on the bottom of the page, source 22. He says the Tur understands Bizui Mitzvah as two levels, two tiers. One idea of Bizui Mitzvah is, not necessarily if you're doing the mitzvah or not, but if you take the article of the mitzvah, the Chetzesh of Mitzvah, and you are nullifying it from its use as an article of a mitzvah. By what you're doing, you're taking away its function as a chefesh mitzvah. There's no question that that goes under the heading of bizui mitzvah. And that's, of course, why you can't take the apple hanging as noi sukkah and eat it. Because if you're eating it, then what you ate is no longer acting as a noi sukkah. It's being digested by you. You're taking away its function as a bizui mitzvah, as a chefesh mitzvah. That certainly is bizui mitzvah. That is one level of bizui mitzvah. But then there's another level of bizui mitzvah, where even though the mitzvah as an item of a mitzvah is not compromised in its function, but nevertheless, you're doing a mitzvah in an inappropriate way. When you're covering the dam with your feet, the mitzvah is being done. But nevertheless, you're doing it in a disrespectful way, and that's a problem as well. And therefore, that's the difference between Noi Sukkah case and the case of Tzitzis. The Torah feels if you're taking the talis and using the tzitzis separately just to tie something, that's not bizui mitzvah because you're not doing mitzvah now and you're not taking away its function as what it is, as a talis. But the obvious question there, therefore, is what about near Chanukah? Why does the Gemara equate taking benefit from the light of Hanukkah to be the mitzvah after all. Seemingly, in that case, you have neither of these points. After all, the mitzvah is not compromised, it's functioning still as an Ner Hanukkah, right? And you're not doing the mitzvah in a disrespectful way, you just have to be using the light for your own benefit. Why does that come under be the mitzvah according to the Torah? Says the Stiper, that's because of what Rashi says in the beginning. Because every Ner Hanukkah by its nature has to convey the unequivocal impression that this is a Ner Hanukkah and it should not be construed as anything but a Ner Hanukkah. Now, we thought until now that that is itself the reason why it's Aser Lishtamish L'Ora, because it conveys the impression that you get it for that reason. Maybe that alone would not have been the reason why they forbade getting benefit. But, given the fact that there's a concept of Bizui Mitzvah, which means that you cannot take away a mitzvah from functioning as a Chetzer Shel Mitzvah, so you can't take the apple that's a nois sukkah and eat it. If the definition of Ner Hanukkah is not just that it's a candle burning, that there's lights, but that the lights are defined as Ner Hanukkah, as communicating the nes, Pesumei Nisa, then anything that you do that diminishes the nature of the mitzvah, it can't function in the same way as a Ner Hanukkah because it's perceived now as something else. So that comes under Bizui Mitzvah in the same way that eating the Nois Sukkah compromises its function as a Nois Sukkah. So if the Ner Hanukkah is designed as Pesumei Nisa candle, what you've done is you've diminished the Pesumei Nisa, that comes under the first category of Bizui Mitzvah. So the second Gemara really serves to understand the first Gemara. It's because of the concept of Bizui Mitzvah that we understand that taking away the function of the Ner Hanukkah as a Pesumei Nisa candle, that comes under Bizui Mitzvah as well. So it's not independent Isser of Heker, it's really understood in light of the second Gemara. Fascinating insight of the Stiper. The Stiper goes further here. So this takes care of Ner Hanukkah. Now I want to come back to the She'iltis that we mentioned earlier. We talked about the leftover oil. And where is that coming from? So there's another Gemara that has, this is again a very broad topic, but just to touch on it. The Gemara says in Sukkah, Lamed Zayin, we have this as well here, that you cannot smell the hadas of the Dalet Vinim over Sukkis. You could smell the Esrog. What's the difference? The Gemara explains the difference is that the hadas, its main purpose is smelling. Therefore, a person who has in mind what I should use it for, has in mind the hadas is a mitzvah Dalet Vinim, it's not for me to smell. Because he thinks of its main function, which is smell, as the thing that he is maksa it. He has that set aside that he should not benefit from that use, which is its main use. Meirecha aksiye. Esrog, on the other hand, whose main function is to eat, not to smell, therefore that which he's maksa it from in his mind is from the achila, not from the reich. So now the Stiper asks the obvious question. What's the problem when it comes to smelling the hadas? After all, are you diminishing in any way, compromising its function as a chetzer shel mitzvah? You can still shake it when it comes to shul, come to halal, make your bracha. You haven't taken away from its function as a chetzer shel mitzvah. When you smell it, are you performing the mitzvah? You did it already. You already came back from shul. Now you're smelling the hadas. So according to the Torah, neither point of Bizui Mitzvah seems to fit over here. Why would it be usher to smell the hadas? It doesn't seem to come under Bizui Mitzvah. So the Stiper says, what you have here is not Bizui Mitzvah at all. It's a very different idea. This may not be working for all the Rishonim, but we're going to go with the Stiper's approach right now. The idea of being matzeit from smell is not Bizui Mitzvah. It's an entirely different halacha, and that is, we know a person can make a neder that something, a particular item is usher to me, I can't get benefit from it. Implicit in a person who designates something to be an article of a mitzvah is as if he would be making a neder that this thing should be reserved for the mitzvah use and not for some other use. What comes under this agenda, this neder? Look at what this thing's main function is and say he wants it to be a mitzvah, he doesn't want to use it for its main function. And therefore, by picking this hadas to use for your lulav, you are implicitly saying, I don't want to use it for the snail, which is usually what I use an hadas for. I don't want this to be used for snail. It's ki'ilu, he made a neder not to benefit from the smell of the hadas, because it's my dalad minim. And therefore, this is a function of what he's thinking and what he's matse in his mind from. Not the notion per se of these in mitzvah. So we have a whole different category that we've created now beyond Biz and Mitzvah, which is the notion of Muksa L'Mitzvasa. So now if we go back to the She'iltis that we saw earlier, what do you do with the leftover oil from one night to the other? What do you do with the leftover oil after Hanukkah? So the question that the She'iltis says, you have to use it in a function of appropriate Kedusha, or you can't use it for your own use, you use it for the next night, you burn it, and you don't take any benefit from it. And the question is, what's wrong? Especially after Chanukah is over. A week from today, we're going to have some oil left over from the last night of Chanukah, right, from Friday night. What do we do with that oil, right? According to the She'iltis, it would seem, no one should draw the wrong conclusions, and maybe you raise out of this, but the She'iltis would seem to say, you have to make a special Madura and burn it because you can't benefit from it. But the question is, you can benefit from your nice silk after silks. So why can't you benefit from the oil after Chanukah? Question all the Rishonim asked on the Shilt. The Abudram gives two reasons, and we understand, we can really understand the Shilt in these two different ways. The first reason given in the Abudram, source 25, is the difference is this. When it comes to a normal tashmish mitzvah, you know it's going to exist after the mitzvah is over. You know your dalam minim will be around after Sukkot. You know your shofar will be around after Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, when you're matzah in your mind, not to get benefit, what are you thinking? I'm not going to get benefit for this duration of time, for this period of the mitzvah. After that, I intend to take benefit from it. However, when it comes to the oil, you think it's going to completely burn out. You don't know you're going to have left. And therefore, in your mind, you are maksa all the oil, and therefore part of your nether, as it were, includes whatever didn't get burned because you thought it would get burned. And therefore, the notion of being maksa it extends to the entire oil. That would be the idea of muksa mitzvaso, and it applies differently in the case of oil than it does for the other cases. The other answer given by the Abudram is, because it has the status of Tashmisha Kedusha, Zecha L'Shemen Shel Hekdesh. In other words, the concept we brought up earlier with the Baal HaMor, extending not just to the flame or to the light, but to actual Shemen itself, the Shemen is treated like Shemen of Hekdesh, and therefore it remains Kodesh forever, because it takes on the status of Tashmisha Kedusha. Okay. Many of these issues come up with halacha. You can look in the source, 28-29, some of these questions of benefiting from the light for different reasons. And the question of the she'iltis, one thing is mentioned is regarding the she'iltis, if you specifically know and have in mind, or say explicitly, that whatever is left, I don't want to lose my right to benefit from, then you can dispose of it, and according to the first reason at least, it's not under muksa mitzvasa. I didn't obviously focus on every dimension of this issue. It's, as you said, it's a very vast topic, the issue of the Shabbos, for example, and other things. But I just wanted to conclude with a short thought of Drush, if you permit me for just a couple of minutes. And I think it connects very nicely to the parasha as well. However we define this Isser of the Shtamish Le'orah, but there's a certain dilemma that exists in Chanukah, and I think the answer is found in the Isser L'shtamish L'orah. Chanukah has so much to do with Pirsumei Nisa, as we've seen, publicity, making the point for everyone to see. It has to be literally in their face. 20 amos is too high, you cannot be yotzer your mitzvah with if it's positioned in a place where there's no Pirsumei Nisa. Such an emphasis on Pirsumei Nisa, and the Svarim talk about why here more than other cases. So they mentioned, for example, the fact that the miracle was done behind closed doors in the Mikdash. Who knew about it? So we have to do everything we could to make the message known and let everyone know about the Nes of Chanukah. But I had a different question. Separate from why is there an emphasis on Pirsumei Nisa, why isn't the notion of Pirsumei Nisa a breach of the notion of Tznius? Generally speaking, brachas are associated with something, things that are more concealed. The Gemara tells us, "Ena bracha mitsuya, ela b'davar ha'somay min ha'ayim." The more concealed, the more likely that you'll succeed. The concept of ayin hara is mentioned by Chazal repeatedly in Shas. Even dvarim shebedusha are susceptible to ayin hara. The ruchos mishonos were shattered because matan Torah was such a public spectacle. Ruchos shnios were done in a lower key manner. The Mishkan required a shmira from ayin hara in the form of birchas kohanim, the Medrash tells us. So even dvarim shebedusha should be done generally in a private manner. Why is Hanukkah so much out there in a pirsum for everyone to see? Why are we not concerned with the negative potential of ayin hara? And maybe the answer lies in the iser that we've discussed today, of asur l'shtamesh l'ora. And it lies in the personality of Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef HaTzadik, Chazal tell us, received the gift of immunity to ayin hara. We learn it out from various psukim, the yidgol l'rov b'kerev ha'aretz, bein poras ali oyin. Yosef and his progeny are not susceptible to ayin hara. And why not? Well, when Yosef was young, we read yesterday in the parasha, he aroused a lot of jealousy from his brothers, by Kanavo Ephraim. That was when Yosef was a youngster before he was sold as a slave. When Yosef came later to Mitzrayim, we see a different Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef begins to do everything in a selfless manner, refusing to take any credit for himself. When Paro says to him, "I heard you're the best dream interpreter in the world, Biladai, it's not for me." Everything Yosef does seems to be selfless. When he puts his brothers through the trials and tribulations that he does, Rashi says it was because he loved them and wanted to bring them to tshuva. When he acts on behalf of Paro and the fears of state, he does it with incredible emunah, not to take a penny for himself. When he meets up with Yaakov after 22 years, the pasuk says, Vayera Elav, he appeared to his father. Rashi says, Yosef appeared to his father Yaakov. Watch the chiddush of Rashi. Chaim Shmulevitz says, Yosef was not concerned with his own pleasure of reuniting with Yaakov. Yosef's focus was on giving Yaakov the pleasure of Yaakov feeling he reunited with his son. Yosef is the quintessential masbir. Yosef is able to give and give and give selflessly and not take for himself. Rav Dessler explains beautifully, discussing ayin hara, that when a person is able to act as a nosing and not as a no-tail, if everything you do is not about yourself, about self-promotion, putting yourself out, but doing it to help others, to give to others, not to take, then you have no problem with ayin hara. And this is why Yosef HaTzadik may have merited that gift. The Gemara tells us the ayin that didn't want to take in that which is not his, that's the ayin that was blessed not to have ayin hara sholeit. Yosef HaTzadik is the model of ein lanu reshus l'shtamesh b'hem, elir osim v'lvad. We can go out, we can be mefarsim, we can mitzvah lefarsim, and we don't have to be worried about the negative effects of that because of the halacha of ein lanu reshus l'shtamesh b'hem. It's not about ourselves, it's not about our own benefit, it's about getting the message out to everybody. Kiddush Hashem and Kvod Shemayim. Baruch Hashem, every week we come together to be Osik B'Torah. It's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem as well. We should be so glad to be able to do that for a long time to come. A faith and time.
Thank you very much.